and ask them what it is they need, and they can do the maths. Do not indebt us and then expect us to pay back a debt that you have created without putting us at the table to be part of the decision-making
process. Obama,
we
just have 30 seconds. Of course, you have close connections to the United States, your half-brother, President Obama. Ruto, the president of Kenya, just in Washington, getting tremendous support from President Biden. What do you want the U.S. government to say right now?
I'm sorry, I can't speak for that. And just to make it clear, my brother is not my half brother. He's just my brother. We don't do halves in Kenya. I can't speak for the U.S. politics. I can only talk for the young people here and what's happening in my country. I'm so sorry. On that level, I'm really not political. I just can talk about what's going on in Kenya.
Well,
I think the U.S. knows what they need to do.
We certainly will continue to cover this issue. Alma Obama, thank you so much for being with us. Sister of former U.S. President Barack Obama and Faith Odhiambo, president of the Law Society of Kenya. Thank you both for joining us from Nairobi. We have a development director job opening at Democracy Now! Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune in every weekday morning from 5:30 to 7 a.m. for variations on the theme of folk music during KBOO's Folk Strip. Each morning brings you a different DJ and a wonderful variety of acoustic and roots music, both traditional and contemporary. You'll hear the latest from singer-songwriters, happy jigs and reels, bluesy folk, a sea shanty or two, some old favorites, local artists and artists from around the world, a touch of Cajun, a dose of indie, and a smidge of jug band. It's probably the best way on earth to wake up. So let us start your day with a smile. Again, that's every weekday morning from 5:30 to 7 a.m. for KBOO's folk music programs.
Support for this program comes from KBOO members in Portland Public Schools preschool programs, offering education and support for families of preschoolers. Enrolling now for children who will be 3 to 4 by September 1st. Information at pps.net/early learners.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Governor Tina Kotek announces Emergency Conflagration Act for a wildfire outside of Lapine.
Oregon responds to its public defender crisis with a new trial division.
And in international news, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is set free.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, June 26th, 2024. I'm Reed Johnson.
And I'm Nina Mayfair. Governor Tina Kotek has invoked the Emergency Conflagration Act for the over 2,400-acre wildfire in Lapine, south of Bend. The Darlene 3 fire broke out around 2 p.m. yesterday on the southeast outskirts of Lapine and quickly spread overnight. Over 1,000 structures were determined to be in evacuation zones. Oregon State Fire Marshal Mariana Ruiz Temple said, quote, "The Emergency Conflagration Act allows us to send the full power of the Oregon Fire Service to protect life and property," end quote. A temporary evacuation shelter has been established at Lapine High School and housed 25 people Tuesday night. The fire is, as of this morning, 30% contained. Meanwhile, the Northern California town of Palermo, population 10,000, is being threatened by wildfire. Palermo is close to paradise, where a 2018 fire killed 85 people and destroyed 14,000 buildings. The Apache fire started Monday night and grew to 700 acres by Tuesday morning. Favorable winds allowed firefighters to stall its progress. It currently is 47% contained.
Oregon is currently in the midst of a public defender crisis. Roughly 2,500 people in the state face criminal charges without legal representation. An additional 120 people sit in jail without a lawyer. Oregon has for years been an outlier nationwide for only employing contractors into its public defense system. Only four other states operate under the same model. Now, the state faces an order from U.S. District Judge Michael McShane to start releasing people from jail who face nonviolent charges without an attorney. Oregon will begin a trial division of state-employed public defenders. The trial division falls within the Oregon Public Defense Commission. The commission is a 13-member panel appointed by the governor to oversee the public defense system. They say the state needs to nearly double its staff of 500 full-time public defenders. The trial division currently employs five senior public defenders in the Portland metro area, three in Medford, and three in Salem. It hopes to employ 30% of Oregon's public defenders by 2035. State lawmakers have approved more than $200 million of funding in the last 2 years to go into the public defense system. The commission's six-year plan goes well beyond this spending and recommends the state double the public defense budget to $1.3 billion by the end of the decade. The commission's plan does not touch upon whether new defenders should be contractors or state employees.
Home Forward and the City of Portland have unveiled the Hazel Ying Lee Building. The building is the largest new construction project built with Portland Housing Bond funds. The building is on the site of the former Safari Show Club Strip Bar on Powell Boulevard, between a Motel 6 and Hopworks Urban Brewery. It offers 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units to income-qualifying renters. Home Forward, otherwise known as the Portland Housing Authority, built the Hazel Ying Lee with $33 million in Portland Housing Bond funds. They dedicated the building to the first Chinese-American woman to join the Women Air Force Service pilots during World War II. Lee was born and raised in Portland to Chinese immigrants. The building is blocks away from Cleveland High School, which Lee attended. Lee died while serving in World War II. With the unveiling of the new building, the Portland Housing Bond funds have now been fully allocated. Their impact far surpassed expectations and funded 1,860 affordable housing units across 15 apartment complexes. Voters approved the Portland Housing Bond in 2016. The bond promised 1,300 units, with more than 600 of those being for Portlanders making 30% or less of the local median income.
Returning to Pacific Northwest climate news, parts of Washington state are already experiencing drought conditions. Karen Bumbaco with the Washington Climatologist's Office notes that snowpack levels in the state are lower than normal, and the overall temperatures in the Pacific Northwest have been on the warm side this spring. As of this month, Washington declared a drought, mainly as a requirement of state law. Though Oregon and Idaho have also had warmer temperatures, those states have not yet declared a drought pattern.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is to be a free man. Georgia law enforcement training to prevent voter intimidation. And the nation's first publicly funded religious charter school is ruled unconstitutional. With more on the story, it's Catherine Carley with 2024 Talks.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
In some ways, if you believe in something and you want to see it occur, you have to pay a price.
For WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, that price was more than a decade of exile and jail after releasing classified military information. But today, he's a free man. The Australian has accepted a plea deal which will let him return home. Press freedom advocates praise Assange for helping expose possible U.S. war crimes. Others argue he put American lives at risk. Former President Donald Trump and President Joe Biden are gearing up for Thursday's first presidential debate. After years of accusing Biden of being senile, former RNC spokesperson Tim Miller says Republicans are now stuck with trying to lower the bar.
Donald Trump is concerned about how this debate is being framed up. That is why he's doing all of the weird stuff about Joe Biden being on drugs.
Trump allies say a strong Biden performance could only be from drug use, and that Trump is entering a hostile environment with biased moderators. The debate will air live on CNN with no studio audience. Primaries took place Tuesday in Colorado, Utah, and New York, which saw the most expensive House primary in history. Progressive New York Democrat Jamal Bowman struggled against a multi-million dollar effort from pro-Israel groups to unseat him over his position on Gaza.
It is a mass murder. It is a war crime. What is happening in Gaza right now?
Meanwhile, Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert of Colorado faced skeptical new voters after opting to move to a district friendlier to conservatives. The Oklahoma Supreme Court has stopped what would have been the country's first publicly funded religious charter school, ruling it both unconstitutional and against state law. The K-12 online school was set to start classes this fall with part of its declared mission to evangelize to students about Catholicism. State Superintendent Ryan Walters says he's hopeful the Supreme Court will take up the case.
The reality is clear. Our students need more options. We have to be a leader in school choice, and we have to protect religious freedoms here in the state of Oklahoma.
Georgia is the first state to require law enforcement be trained on election intimidation and interference. A one-hour mandated class on state election law aims to prepare police for poll site disturbances. Voting rights activist Stacey Abrams says poll workers face continued threats and voter misinformation is a dangerous trend.
As I keep saying, don't panic. We've got this election. We just need to show up and keep our eye on the mission, and that is casting our ballots.
And finally, a Wisconsin court has ruled that voters with disabilities can demand accessible absentee ballots via email. Voting rights groups had challenged state law, which allowed only military and overseas voters to vote online. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Coast Range Radio. At 6, it's The Underground, produced by KBOO's own Youth Collective. Tonight's episode is all about interviews. Then at 7, PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Tonight's weather will be mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers, lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow's weather will remain cool and cloudy with a high of 68. Today in history, in 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that same-sex couples have a constitutional right to marriage under the 14th Amendment. They had ruled exactly 2 years earlier, along the same lines, that Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act was unconstitutional. The quote of the day is from Brazilian singer-songwriter Gilberto Gil, who was born in the state in 1942. Gil is a key figure in the Tropicália movement of the 1960s, which saw Brazilian popular music merge with social and political activism. Gil said, quote, "We are sufficiently conscious of this dimension or quality of Brazil as a melting pot, as a culture and a nation that is being subjected to an amalgamating process. More than just a mixing process, it is an amalgamation where the fragments, the parts in collision, really interact profoundly. They become another thing after contact," end quote.
The Federal Highway Administration will start considering a new round of funding for states and tribes to address collisions between wildlife and cars. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribes and states will have another opportunity this summer to compete for federal funding to address collisions between wildlife and cars. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports.
About 1 to 2 million motor vehicles crash into wildlife each year in the U.S. Kylie Paul, a road ecologist with the Center for Large Landscape Conservation, says that threatens animals, human life, and property.
Each year, it costs Americans more than $10 billion. To hit wildlife on their roadways.
Last year, the Federal Highway Administration gave out $110 million for bridges, tunnels, fencing, and broader plans to keep animals off roadways. But Paul says states and tribes proposed more than three times as many projects than got funded.
It's very evident that states and other entities across the country are really looking to address this problem.
Now the federal agency is giving out more money for crossings. Applications are due in September. I'm Rachel Cohen.
Fancy Dance will begin streaming globally on Apple TV Plus this week. The film follows Jax, played by Lily Gladstone, who searches for her missing sister while she also cares for her niece on the Seneca Cayuga Reservation in Oklahoma. Writer and director Erica Tremblay talked to National Native News about how the film is raising awareness of missing and murdered Indigenous people and the Indian Child Welfare Act. Tremblay says she hopes the film brings some humanity to these issues, which she says is often not the case in Hollywood.
You go online and it's hardly a day goes by where you don't see a missing poster coming across our social feeds. And I think that there's just so many people in this country that don't realize that this epidemic exists and that and how traumatic and how impactful it is on our communities. So we wanted to tell a story about these issues, also forced removal of Native kids from, you know, ICWA was going through the Supreme Court while we were writing this. And it was really important for us to talk about these topics, but do it in a way that the story is told through the survivors of this and the people left behind.
Tremblay says when it came to character development, the writers were inspired by their own friends and family members.
We cared about these characters and we curated them and we built them in a way that mirrored the people in our lives that we love and respect so much and our heroes. You know, Jax is an amalgamation of my mom and my aunties and like queer folks that have like guided me through my journey, you know, on this earth. And so I hope that people do recognize people and themselves and that they feel excited and inspired and represented.
And as far as Native representation in Hollywood, Tremblay says she's hopeful there's more to come.
We've been telling stories. We've been using storytelling as a vital part of our existence for thousands of years. And it's kind of unfortunate that Hollywood doesn't recognize what great storytellers we are. We're finally arriving at a place where our talents are being recognized and we're being allowed to tell our own stories. And, you know, I'm optimistic but guarded that like this will continue because we're certainly not going backwards. But it's about time, and we Hollywood still hasn't done enough, right? There's still so much work to do, and there's still so much more so many more stories to be expressed. So I'm hopeful that there'll be more to come.
Fancy Dance will stream on Apple TV Plus on Friday. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Gas-powered leaf blowers are seen as a nuisance to many, and research shows they could also be a health hazard. In our city of Portland, we're on a campaign to phase them out in the coming years. The victory over gas-powered blowers is partially thanks to the work of the organization Quiet Clean PDX. Michael Hall is co-founder and co-chair of the Portland chapter of the Quiet Clean Alliance. He says there are many reasons to ban the gas-powered machines, including the toxic exhausts they release and the loud noise they create.
More importantly these days, to my mind, is there a danger to the environment, to our climate, because they emit so much carbon and greenhouse gases that there are contributors to the weather issues that we see more and more.
Research from the California Air Resources Board found 1 hour operating a gas leaf blower generates as much emissions as a car driving 1,100 miles. The blowers can also reach 100 decibels, akin to an airplane taking off. More than 100 U.S. cities have banned gas-powered leaf blowers, and more than 45 organizations are part of the Quiet Clean Alliance. Under the ordinance, Portland will phase out gas-powered leaf blowers year-round by 2028. But Hall notes there's still work to be done to ensure no one is disproportionately affected by the new law.
It's a victory at the city level. The real work is in implementing it and enacting it in a way that is fair and equitable, particularly for the small BIPOC-owned lawn care businesses, and that is effective.
While electric blowers are better for the environment, they still stir up debris and pollutants like gas-powered blowers. Hall says the Leave the Leaves campaign advocates for not moving leaves from yards at all.
The Xerces Society has been a leader in saying, hey, what if we just leave the leaves and allow the pollinators to have an environment that they can grow in, that the birds can have enough of the insects, and that the pollinators can do their work.
That was Michael Hall, co-founder of Quiet Clean PDX.
One of the leading employers in the Pacific Northwest could soon face criminal charges. Federal prosecutors have until July 7th to determine whether Boeing is in violation of an agreement struck in 2021 following two deadly plane crashes in 2018 and 2019. Connecticut U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal, a former prosecutor himself, says he reviewed the evidence. At a recent U.S. Senate hearing, he told Boeing's CEO, quote, in the wake of those tragedies, Boeing promised to turn itself around. Planes were grounded. Executives were dismissed. What we've seen since from whistleblowers is that, in fact, the manufacturing issues, the retaliation against whistleblowers, non-conforming parts, quality inspections skipped, and issues concealed from the FAA have all continued. Blumenthal also said, quote, there is near overwhelming evidence, in my view, as a former prosecutor, that prosecution should be pursued, end quote.
And in international legal news, after 14 years, Julian Assange is home in Australia. Those 14 years included 7 spent in political asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy in London and 5 years in Belmarsh prison in the UK. While Assange was originally sentenced to Belmarsh for 50 weeks, he spent the next 5 years fighting with his legal team to escape extradition to the United States, where he faced multiple espionage charges. Assange is the founder of WikiLeaks, a website known for publishing leaked documents. WikiLeaks had long been a thorn in the side of the American government for releasing information provided by then-intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning on American military atrocities in Iraq. Assange pled guilty to 1 count of conspiring to obtain and disclose classified U.S. national defense documents. He was released for time served and flew to Canberra, Australia. Because he was not permitted to fly commercially, Assange had to spend over $500,000 to charter a plane to take him to the trial in the U.S. territory of Saipan and then home. The Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, has long advocated for Assange's release and was central in brokering Assange's freedom. Assange's lawyer spoke following the decision, calling the prosecution unprecedented and a violation of journalists' right to free speech.
Federal officials have announced final plans for the first marine national monument in the Atlantic Ocean. It's located off the coast of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And the protected area is considered one of the most biodiverse places on Earth. As Catherine Carley reports, this effort is part of the Biden administration's plan to conserve at least 30% of lands and waters by 2030.
A new marine national monument in the Atlantic Ocean aims to protect one of the most biodiverse spots on the planet from overfishing. Located 130 miles off Cape Cod, Massachusetts, the area spans more than 3 million acres and is part of the Biden administration's plan to conserve at least 30% of U.S. lands and waters by 2030. Keith Shannon with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service calls the monument a living laboratory of pristine ocean habitat.
Dolphins, multiple whale species, and sea turtles and seabirds. It's considered the Serengeti of the sea. There's so much wildlife out there.
Officially called the Northeast Canyons and Seamounts Marine National Monument, Shannon says it contains areas deeper than the Grand Canyon and taller than the Rocky Mountains and will be safeguarded for years to come. Debate over how to manage this vast marine environment has been ongoing. Former President Donald Trump lifted restrictions on commercial fishing in the monument area in 2020. The Biden administration reestablished those protections 1 year later in a move praised by environmental groups and condemned by fishermen, who said it would put more people out of work. Shannon says the new monument management plan helps ensure this unique area is protected from the harms of overfishing while the larger ocean ecosystem benefits.
That should allow for species that are fished to come into the monument waters, breed and create more species in the areas of that monument.
The monument contains an abundance of phytoplankton, fish, squid, and shrimp that serve as vital links in the marine food chain. New federal data show while some recent progress has been made in rebuilding fish stock in U.S. waters, nearly 50 species, including Atlantic cod and mackerel, remain overfished. For Commonwealth News Service, I'm Catherine Carley.
June has been National Rivers Month, and as Eric Tagadoff reports, it's been a chance for conservation groups to point out that many of the river miles in Idaho lack the strongest form of federal protections, known as wild and scenic river designations.
National Rivers Month comes to an end this week, and conservation groups say it's a reminder that more action is needed to protect Idaho's rivers. The state is home to more than 107,000 miles of river, providing drinking water, hydropower, tourism, and recreational opportunities like rafting and angling. But Stephen Pfeiffer with Idaho Rivers United says only a small portion of those river miles have the strongest type of federal protections.
Only 1% of the rivers here in Idaho are protected via wild and scenic river designation. And so there's a lot of opportunity to give more stretches of river that people like to recreate on or might rely on protections that they deserve.
Idaho is home to two of the eight rivers originally protected by the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act of 1968, the Middle Fork of the Clearwater River and the Middle Fork of the Salmon River. About 890 miles of river in Idaho are protected under this designation today. The Snake River also flows through Idaho. The Biden administration has been studying four dams on the lower part of the Snake River in eastern Washington and their effect on fish populations that migrate to and from Idaho. Last week, the administration announced the Columbia Basin Task Force to further examine the impact of those dams. Pfeiffer says salmon and steelhead numbers are dwindling because of the dams.
It all boils down to the fact that our wild salmon and steelhead don't have much time. But if we take these actions now, we can get them to a place where populations have stabilized and are in fact recovering in the event of dam removal.
Supporters of the dam say they provide hydropower to the region, as well as enabling other uses for the river, like barging and irrigation. Pfeiffer says National Rivers Month isn't only about threats to rivers. It's also about enjoying what they offer.
Idaho has so many amazing stretches of river, and there might be an amazing stretch right in your backyard that's just waiting to be explored.
For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Mental health advocates say Americans should not downplay the importance of June being Men's Mental Health Month. They say men often feel shame or judgment when they struggle with mental illness. Mike Richardson has more in Ohio.
June is Men's Mental Health Month, and advocates in Ohio and elsewhere are working to eliminate the shame or judgment guys face when they struggle with mental illness. Studies show the prevalence of mental health problems is growing among children and adults, but men are less likely to seek care. Javon Howard with the Ohio Alliance to End Sexual Violence says men need to understand that it's okay to have experienced trauma, and they need to find ways to better connect with their emotions.
It's important to bring awareness to this month and bring awareness to men's mental health, because we want to encourage men to seek help. We want to encourage men to feel like they are able to identify for themselves when they do need help and to understand how to use the tools that are around them.
Studies show women have a significantly higher frequency of depression and anxiety in adulthood, while men have a higher prevalence of substance abuse disorders and antisocial behaviors. However, four times as many men die by suicide than women, and both categories are on the increase, according to the CDC. With Ohio being a rural state, the reality of folks having access to services can be difficult. Howard says men often believe that they will be perceived as weak if they seek mental health care. He says the culture often tells men to just get over it, to man up, or quit being a sissy. He says the fact that large parts of Ohio are rural rather than urban brings a special set of problems for men seeking help.
With Ohio being a rural state, the reality of folks having access to services can be difficult. Having access to confidential services, if you live in a community where everyone knows each other, it's harder to keep things closer to what's going on with you.
Howard says Men's Mental Health Month highlights the growing number of men across the country dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. His organization hopes to change attitudes about men seeking help overcome their problems. For Ohio News Connection, I'm Mark Richardson.
It is Wednesday, and that means a visit from KBOO News poet Dan Raphael, who wants to be safe from people worried about his safety.
Watched an ad for a city council candidate. The way he stressed safety made me certain I won't vote for him. Some parents want to keep their children safe from books about LGBTQ people, books about how indigenous people and people of color have been slaughtered throughout history. Some politicians exaggerate the crime rate so we won't feel safe talking to other people and only get information electronically. We want to be safe from pollution, forever chemicals, nuclear radiation, and war, but are told there's no danger, that the safest possible world with America and ironclad control is just a vote or two away. We're told that the prime danger to be avoided is any threat to corporate profits. Folks and institutions who want us to be safe want to control what we're safe from, want us to see them as protection, not as serious threats to our freedom and our planet. I don't need a corporate umpire to tell me if I'm safe or out. I know who's pitching, so I'm keeping my eye on the ball. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, June 26, 2024. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Annette Newell and Dan Raphael. The producer is Reed Johnson, and our engineer is Ray Bodwell. Special thanks to Antonia Gonzalez, Catherine Carley, Eric Tegethoff, and Mark Richardson. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Nina Mayfair.
And I'm Reed Johnson. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our great members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for Coast Range Radio and have a good night.
From the Coast Range Association, this is Coast Range Radio. I'm